If you have a Bible handy, just turn to the letter, the book of Acts, the letter to the Acts of the Apostles. So if you have a Bible with you, turn to the Acts of the Apostles just for a moment or two. I'm going to just take quickly whistle-stop tour of just a few chapters in Acts. They're verses that you may have read before, but I just want to just refresh and just encourage ourselves the power of prayer in Acts. So quickly, just if you've got, we're going to look at Acts chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. Not every verse, but just a couple of verses. So you might want to flick to the book of Acts and have open Acts 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're going to look at this together. So in the early church was birthed in prayer. In actual fact, the way when the early believers gathered together, it was in the place of prayer. It's interesting that the early church was bathed and birthed in prayer. And it's today in the church, it's the prayer gathering that is the one thing that is probably the most challenging gathering for people to attend in. It's an odd thing. That it's the place of prayer that we were birthed, the church was birthed, and yet it's the place of prayer, in the Western church at least, where it's the thing where we can be a bit thin on the ground, as it were. And we've got many pressing things. We'll do everything other than pray sometimes. I'll plan, I'll ask others' opinions, I'll try it myself, I'll get others to help me, and then I think, well, I better pray now. But it seems as if the early church, prayer was a first thought, not an afterthought. So look at this quickly. Acts 1:14. Acts chapter 1 verse 14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Now, I'm not going to spend a long time just unpacking that for the moment, but they all joined together constantly in prayer. Jesus encouraged them to get together. Jesus encouraged them to wait together, to pray together. They copied Jesus because they saw Jesus doing this all the time. Prayer for Jesus was a first thought, not an afterthought. Prayer for Jesus was a pressing thought, not a second thought. It was primarily in touch with Father, in touch with the Father, loving, being loved, knowing and being known. And so the early church copied him. This is only like 50 days. Sort of 50 days, isn't it? 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. So in the church, this is hot off the press for them. And they just knowing this is what Jesus did. This is what we do. This is how we keep in contact with him. And we've come a long way from then. But maybe we've come a long way and steered and walked a bit out of the way. But it says they all joined together constantly in prayer. Then look at Acts 2 verses 1 and 4. We see this. It says when the day of Pentecost came, Acts 2 verse 1 and 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. But in verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. So at Pentecost, and they were 50 days after Jesus, gathering, praying, being together, birthed, saturated, first thought, in touch with Father. Then there's this power of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Spirit. All of them were filled. Everybody was immersed. Everybody experienced. It wasn't just a few, but everyone knew. Everyone was in touch with Father God. There's dynamic, there's life, there's energy, there's its vibrancy. In verse 42 of chapter 2, if you go on a bit further, I know this is zipping along, but in verse 42 it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. For them it was talking, listening, immersed in Father, Holy Spirit. Jesus is just as present now. He's resurrected, but he's alive. And this was amazing in the church. If you go on a bit further, so it's chapter 2. Chapter 3, look at this in chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Not going to spend a long time there, but this is interesting. Now, chapter 3, so this is now a number of weeks after Pentecost. This isn't the next day. This is a number of weeks, probably months. These first three or four chapters cover a number of weeks or months. And so chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, it's the story of the healing, Peter and John, and an amazing healing of a lame man begging at the temple gate. And in the first few verses, it says there one day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. It was their custom to not only pray together, but to continually pray. They would go to the temple so many times a day. And it was at 3:00. This was that point of the day. And it's amazing then that it's an amazing miracle occurs. An amazing miracle. A miracle in the street. miracle in the street as well. Isn't that interesting? In their world, out and about, the same things that Jesus did. It was out and about in the street where people were, and that's where they were. And it was as they were immersed, birthed, saturated, hearing Father, the Father hearing and speaking with them. So there's this power, there's this presence in the place of prayer. If you come then in chapter 4, so this is a number of weeks going along, but we're picking out, and the thread through this again and again is prayer, is prayer, is the place of prayer. Not a first thought, not an afterthought. And in chapter 4, verses 23 to 31, this is now when there's persecution. So it says, so Peter and John are released because they were beaten up and told, you're not allowed to say this in the street anymore. Too many good things were happening. And the religious leaders were upset with them, and they beat them up and said, if you do this again, we'll kill you. Keep quiet. And on their release, verse 23, it says, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said. And I'm not going to go through it verbatim, but there's this aspect again that there is this prayer as a first thought. It's urgent, united prayer together. And they see God as the sovereign. God's in charge. So they're being persecuted. Everything's out of control. Everything's out of control. They've even been beaten up. I would say they were probably beaten to a pulp. They were beaten with canes and whipped, really beaten up badly, left badly bruised. And so everything's out of control. And they knew that this was dangerous. They were going to be killed. So what did they urgently prayed. So they know that God is in control, even though everything seemed to be out of control. It doesn't seem to make sense, does it? Everything seemed to be out of control. And yet they say, our sovereign Lord, you are in control. It's in the place of prayer, as we hear and speak to Father, that we see his hand. So then they go on to pray. They say, consider the threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your servant Jesus. So they prayed for boldness, and they prayed that people would hear the word again, and that people's lives would be changed with the same power as if Jesus is walking amongst them, because he was and is. As we ask and speak to him, we'll be in touch with him. He says, you will do great things, greater things. After they prayed, it says, a bit further down, towards verse 31, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All of them were filled, and there was boldness and vibrancy and aliveness again. Do you see the thread running through these first early months of the early church? Through persecution, things going badly, things going well, great things happening, people being healed, them seeking encouragement, all through is the place of being in touch. It's prayer. Prayer is the powerhouse of the church. So what we see, they were united prayer. There was urgent, so they were together. They were united. There was urgency. There was an energy about themselves. They knew that this is the first thought. There's an energy. Urgency comes out of an energy. There's a need. God, only you can do this. We need you. We need you. We really need you. They're uncomplicated. So there's united, urgent, uncomplicated. It's a first thought. It's not an afterthought. Today, we've got to unhitch myself. For me, in the Western world in which we live, it's an afterthought because we've got everything. You might think, well, I haven't got much, Adrian. Who are you to tell me? But we've got so much today that we've come such a long way that prayer for us becomes now an afterthought rather than a first thought. Basically, prayer equals power. Prayer equals presence. It's as simple as that. I like a simple gospel. It's as simple as that. We were talking about simplicity of the word of God this morning. And they had the power to be and to do. It's in the place of prayer. We have the power to be and to do. Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses and you'll be able to speak out and reach and to do. And with this, I want to just finish. But a man called J.B. Phillips, he was looking at what we've just looked at and a lot more. He spent the whole of his life looking at Acts and looking at it in great detail. But we've only just done a couple of minutes. And this is what he said. This is what was his observation, looking at Luke's writing on Acts, the early church. And he says this, we have to ruefully admit, said J.B. Phillips, that they were open on the Godward side in a way that is almost unknown today. The early believers, all of them, were open on, he said, he used this word, were open on the Godward side in a way that is almost unknown today. A man called Jim Cimbala, who pastors the Brooklyn Tabernacle and wrote an amazing book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, which is a book on prayer and how prayer changed the whole life of his church. Many in our church have read this book. But Jim Cimbala comments on this because he quotes J.B. Phillips. And this is what he says. The secret power of prayer in the early church was this, that they were open on the Godward side. There was their secret. Early Christians were open to God. There's a God, there's a spirit. The realm of the spirit is open because we're all spiritual. They were open on that side. And then Jim Cimbala says this, doesn't that stir your spirit to pray? Read it if you've not read it. Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. It's an amazing book. He says, doesn't that stir your spirit to pray? We can be open. We can hear God, feel God, see God, know God, do the things of God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit. That's amazing in the place of prayer. Prayer is our first thought, not an afterthought. So there we go. Just a thought, really. Just a thought for this evening to encourage us as we pray. So it's great that you're here. I don't look at who's not here. I'm going to look at who is here. We're here. You're here. So let's do something together. So what we're going to do, it's now 7:05. So at 7:30, we're going to sort of finish for about 7:30. So we've got 20 minutes. So in the next 20 minutes, we're going to pray. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to suggest that if you feel that you'd like to stay in the order, you don't want to do this. Some of us are going to go and pray in the streets, and some of us are going to pray in the auditorium here right now. So I'm going to suggest if you feel that you want to stay in the auditorium here, Annette's going to be here, so we're going to pray in the auditorium here. You can pray in the heart and the life of the church. You can pray over the building. You can pray over this place. I would say for anyone praying here, pray over the shed. Pray over this place. I met another planning officer, a planning consultant, and another architect just only the other day. I've now met so many, it's becoming a bewildering. But they were really positive, very positive about what could be done. And this architect specialized in heritage, was local. These are local people, and they specialize in heritage projects and believe that something's possible here. But we have to pray. We have to pray. Pray, pray, pray. Take nothing for granted. So if you're going to pray here, if you're going to be situated in the building, it'd be great to pray over the building. I think there's something now we need a breakthrough on our building as a church, because we need to develop the facilities in a way that releases children, youth, community, ancillary facilities that can facilitate us as a church to continue to grow and serve our community. And something has to happen, actually, if I'm really honest. It really has got to happen. So if you're going to be based here, be great in the next 20 minutes or so to pray a release, blessing, release. So we're going to do that. Then some of us, if we can go out to the streets to pray, be great. Do you know what would be really great is to pray down some of the roads, particularly Bridge Street, where Robin and Iram live. And be great. Obviously, we don't want to go in a big posse and walk down the road because it will look a bit strange. People might think, what's going on? Well, they're walking out here to look at all the houses to break in or something like that. But so we need to be careful. We go out maybe in threes or something like that. But it would be great to go down some of the roads and just pray the blessing of God. The blessing of God down some of these roads, the side roads. It would be great for a group of people to go to outside the council offices again and just pray the blessing of God over conservation and planning and for the councillors and for local authority. And just pray the blessing. Somebody could, if you could do that, that'd be fantastic. It would be great to pray over our the youth centre and the youth and some of the schools of this area. So some of us, we haven't got very long to do this, but if we could do some of these things and go into groups and some of us take some of those things, it'd be absolutely fantastic. So let's do it. Let's go. Let's go down the streets. Let's go, folks. And if you want to stay here, we're going to pray here. We're going to go. We're going to be back for 7:30. 7:30 back here. So if you want to stay in the building and pray here, do it. If you want to go out with us, we're going to pray the street. So when I say prayer walking, what you're going to do is we're going to walk the land, walk the ground, and as we go, we're going to pray and ask God to reveal, to bless, to heal, to change, to open up, change the spiritual atmosphere in Long Eaton. Change the spiritual atmosphere in our community.